Welcome to the Kerwin Baptist Church broadcast today. Our desire is for the Word of God to be spread throughout the world so that all may know Christ. Join us now for a portion of one of our services here at Kerwin Baptist Church, located in Kernersville, North Carolina.
I'm introducing tonight, we've been preaching on prayer for a good while, and I feel like it's time to deal with the Lord's Prayer. And if you're going to deal with the Lord's Prayer, you've got to deal with the Scripture before it, the Scripture during it, and the Scripture after it, to really be able to completely understand the Lord's Prayer. And as we begin to deal with that, you have to set the scene where the disciples say, Lord, teach us to pray. And then when God gives what we call the Lord's Prayer, and probably next week, I believe it is, I will be sharing that really it's the disciples' prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer because the Lord gave that example, but what it was, He was giving that example for them to pray. So it's really a prayer that we should be praying, and it's not that we are supposed to pray those exact words, it's an example to us. And if we're talking about prayer, and we've been preaching on prayer for a while, I think it would be good to take God's example that He gave us and how we should pray. But what created the stage for the disciples to be taught how to pray? Look at Matthew chapter 6, and I kind of want to speak on this subject tonight. Problem or power? Problem or power? Now, you got to hear me out. Prayer can give you power, but prayer can also sometimes be a problem. And we're going to look at this and see when is it that prayer becomes a problem in your life. And not that it's a problem that you're praying, it's a problem in how you're praying. Notice, if you would, Matthew chapter 6. And this, of course, is a Sermon on the Mount, as we call it. Look at verse 1. Take heed. Now, those are two very strong words in the Greek. It means this: you better listen to what I'm getting ready to say. It was a very nice political way to say, listen. That ye do not your alms or prayers before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Let me just stop right there. That's a serious thing when God says that if we do this particular thing, you will not receive a reward from your Father in heaven. The whole point of prayer is to receive that reward from the Father. Amen? The whole reason we're praying is because we need something from Him. We need Him to do it. He's our Father. He's who we go to. So I want my prayers to have power. But if God says something that's going to prevent those prayers, not only from having power, but to have any kind of impact at all, I want to know what it is. And this is what He says. Take heed that you do not give your alms, pray your prayers, to be seen of men. Notice, if you would, verse 2. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. In other words, it should be that personal and private, your time with the Lord. Our prayer should have no motive whatsoever to get the glory from men. Let me say it this way. Anything we do should not be done so that it would make people think higher of us. That's why God says that all the glory belongs to the Father. So that means everything in our life should not be done so that people would admire us or think higher of us. And let's be honest, all of us are just sinful enough that that is very easy for us to do. To do things in our life, almost it can almost become a habit. We don't even realize we're doing it, but we're really doing it not for the Lord, but for the glory of men, so that they would think, hey, there's a great Christian. Hey, that's a really good person. Boy, they're really doing some things for God. And we've got to be careful. That's when prayer can become a problem. Now, notice, if you would, verse 4, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before we ask him. Now, he is getting ready in the following verses to begin to give them the model or the example to follow in prayer. So you and I have got to understand this. The Lord's Prayer was part of God teaching, number one, how not to pray. And then he gives the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, to teach us how to pray. So prayer can do one of two things. It can be a problem or it can be powerful. Now, I want you to notice you have on your outline, what are some possible problems? Now, he described all this in the first 8 verses. So what are some possible problems? Well, obviously, the first thing is this. Prayer can express selfishness if you're not careful. Now listen to me. Dr. John Phillips, in one of his commentaries, I really like this, and I copied this off right here because I wanted to read this to you. Now listen to me. We must be careful in prayer because our sin nature can follow us right into the throne room. Nothing is safe from our sinfulness. Look at me, dear friends. We could be doing the right thing in praying, but do it the wrong way. Literally, our selfish motives and our self-glorificating motives can literally enter our prayer life. Am I the only one that is that? My flesh is capable of that. And you and I have got to be careful to understand that, hey, I got to make sure I'm looking at myself and make sure that selfishness doesn't enter the throne room with me when I go to the Father. Now listen to me. You say, how does that happen? Notice, really, under that, there is the thing of this. Prayer can express selfishness, focusing on self. You say, no, what does that mean? Well, oftentimes, and we're guilty of this, in our public meeting, in our corporate worship, we would call it, oftentimes, let's say we open up our service in prayer, we pray for the offering, whatever the case might be, and David Polly's sitting right down here, and let's just say, you know, we just sang a song on a Sunday morning, and I say, David, would you come up and pray? And David comes up, and you know, would you lead us to the Lord in prayer? Do you know what you and I sometimes do? We literally focus on the one who is praying when that happens. You say, well, what do you mean, preacher? How many times has somebody been praying and maybe they mumble a word or say something out of place? And later on, somebody will come up to them and say, yeah, I heard you praying, blah, 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 that was funny, you know, kind of a thing, and you messed up there or something. Why are you even listening? Okay, listen. Like if David Pollock comes up to open us up in prayer on a Sunday morning, he is leading in prayer, but you and I are to be praying to the Father during that. And we are not to focus on the individual behind this pulpit praying. If you sit and don't pray and you're just listening to what he would have to say, and when he says something right, yeah, that's right, amen, you know, kind of thing. Wait a minute, that's not what really should be happening. What should be happening is while he's praying, you and I should be praying to the Father. During an opening of a church service, if I have David Pauly come up here and open it up in prayer, while he's praying, you should be, Lord, now, Lord, forgive me for if there's anything in my life that's not right. Lord, I want to make it right, and God, I need you to do a work in my heart today. God, I pray you'd help our preacher today. Lord, I pray that you'd help my heart. I pray that I would be open to what you want. Do y'all get this? So oftentimes, literally, without even noticing it, instead of focusing on the one we're all supposed to be praying to, we can literally focus on the one who is praying, and oftentimes it draws the attention not only to an individual instead of God, but then oftentimes, how would I say it? We almost can advertise ourselves during prayer. You ever had, and please, I have nobody or anybody's prayer in mind. Sometimes I'll say something and I don't even know, and somebody, maybe 2 years ago, you might have prayed something like this, and you're thinking, I don't remember, but listen to me. Have you ever had somebody get up and pray, and during that prayer, they let God and everybody know, you know, Lord, I spent a whole lot of time with you this morning. And Lord, I know you were sweet today as I got up and fasted and prayed. Wait a minute, dear friends. We're not up here to let everybody know what we've done in our prayer life. Y'all agree with me on that? Now, I don't think anybody that ever has done that, I don't even know if anybody's ever done that here. I'm sure Brother Joe's been here 50 years. Maybe he's heard. I'm just saying that I have heard over the years, you find that. And I, because I was an evangelist, I almost every other week was preaching at a pastor's fellowship or part of a preacher's fellowship or whatever the case might be. And if you ever want to find some of that going on, go there. The preacher gets up and this preacher's scheduled to preach to the pastor's fellowship, and even during the message, during the preaching, it's almost an advertisement of the great things he's done as a pastor. And dear friend, I'm here to tell you, we're not here to get the glory, and prayer should not be focused on self. It's not focused on, Lord, you know as well as I know that I've been faithful, and there have been some hard times, but I've hung in there, Lord. Wait, you don't need to tell everybody that. If you've hung in there, God knows if you've hung in there. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I'm not trying to criticize anybody. I'm just, this is God's teaching on prayer. So prayer should not focus. He said, hey, don't pray like these religious crowd do. They're in the street corners and they're praying and giving alms and they're going through all this tradition. And oftentimes what they would do, they would stand at the different portions of the street corner and they would pray and agonize in prayer. They would literally sometimes pray, woe is me and woe is me. And while they're saying woe is me, they inside are building themselves up. People come by, it's like, well, aren't they humble? No, they weren't. You know why? Jesus knew their heart. He saw what was going on. And so you and I have got to make sure that our prayer is not focused on self. And notice this, second, we focus sometimes on personal needs. Now listen, we tend to do that sometimes. It's amazing how really selfish some of our praying is. Now the Christian's focus, and get this, I want you to understand. The Christian's focus on others should be seen in prayer more than anywhere else. We believe the Bible teaches that we are to put others before ourselves, right? Okay. If that's the case, if we are putting others before ourselves, the first place that should be seen is in prayer. And dear friend, literally, if somebody could enter into our prayer closet and listen to us pray, the first thing that they ought to be able to get is this, boy, they sure pray for others. Because our focus, listen to me, you say, well, I have needs and I need the Lord. That's fine. But it shouldn't be focused on that. It should be others. It should be focused on Him and others. Remember the whole rule we give of joy, Jesus first, others second, you third. Our prayer life should be focused on Him as the first priority, others as the second priority, and then us. Third, we often are focusing on the outward. Let me explain this, and that's why God does in this passage that these men like to stand in public. Oftentimes, you and I make the very terrible mistake of judging someone's spirituality by looking at the outside. And I'm not just talking about we look at the outside like how they're dressed or how they look. I'm talking about oftentimes their deeds and their actions. Like if a person gets up and, buddy, they are fluent in their prayers, you think, boy, that's a man that walks with God. And another individual might come up and you might hear them pray and they might mumble a little bit and they might not be polished and you'd almost say, I'm sure they might walk with God a whole lot more than the guy that just, gave the book. Y'all agree with that? You and I better be careful that we don't judge someone's spirituality by focusing on the outside. And that's exactly what the religious hypocrites were doing here. And that's why Jesus was correcting them. I think sometimes you and I, and let me give you the second thing on this outline, because this will go hand in hand. Notice under possible problems, prayer can express selfishness. And second, prayer can focus on form if you're not careful. Now, you say, what do you mean? We oftentimes can focus the importance of our prayer by how long we pray, how much we pray, and we oftentimes focus so much on the form of it. Look at me. In Bible days, when prayer was done by great men of God, it was done because they were godly. It was not done because they were trying to make themselves godly. And oftentimes you and I, we have this rule, well, whether a person prays, we focus on the outward, and then we begin to focus on the technique of it. Well, I've got to do this, and I've got to do that. Notice what Jesus was saying. These men, they have their standard lines, their standard prayers, their rituals that they do. They're speaking certain ways and giving their alms, and God says it was hypocritical. Because although they had all the lingo down, and although they had all the form down, they were denying the godliness thereof. You and I sometimes need to quit worrying about, if I pray, I got to say things a certain way. And listen, dear friend, if we do that, we're trying to pray to men. That's why oftentimes, sometimes new Christians and even people that have been in church for a while, they're so afraid to pray in public. And I understand that. Oftentimes, I think there might have been once or twice over the years, I mistakenly, somebody that does not want to pray in public, just called us, hey, would you close us in prayer? I just wasn't thinking. And it could absolutely scare the living daylights out of some people. Well, let me tell you why it can scare the living daylights out of you. Because you're worried what people are going to hear you say. And if you don't say things right a certain way and you don't necessarily put it, you know what I think the best prayer is when an individual doesn't know how to pray. They just want to talk to God. Do you get where I'm going with this? Prayer can become a problem when you and I are focusing on the form instead of what our prayer is really made of, and that's simply talking with God. We're going to talk about that in a second. I have had the privilege of obviously being in evangelism for about 10 years, and I have... If you're be in a meeting, I've heard all kinds of different people pray. And the ones that I felt, and I'm not judging, because that's what I'm telling you not to do, but there have been times where individuals have prayed, and while I was trying to pray, you could feel the presence of God, and they weren't polished. And they didn't say the these and the thous and have everything down. It oftentimes would just start something like this: God, I have nothing to offer you. God, I need your help tonight. I might not know all the things to say, but we need you tonight. I don't think anything means more to God than that. I think where you and I can begin to get in trouble is when we have all the stuff down and we've done it so long, we know how to do it. And you and I, look at me, what I'm saying is this: literally, we could get up to this pulpit and pray without even thinking about it. We've done it so long and so much and gotten so good at it that we really don't even need God to come up here and pray. And dear friend, I'm here to say that, you know what? You and I need to quit focusing on the form and talk to God out of a sincere heart. Notice this second part of it. Those are some possible problems that God gives in these first 8 verses, obviously. But I want you to notice this powerful prayer. All right, but what is powerful? Notice, look at verse 8. And actually, he gives different things. Verse 5, he says, when thou prayest, thou shalt not, for they love to pray. Look at verse 6. But when thou prayest, enter thy closet, when thou hast shut thy door. Notice this: pray to thy Father, which is in secret. Now, under powerful prayer, notice this, number one, the simple approach. Do you know what prayer is? Prayer is simply an individual approaching God. Let me even make it a little bit easier. Prayer is simply you communicating with God. There's nothing mystical about prayer. If you and I believe God's real, obviously you do, you wouldn't be here tonight. If you believe God's real, and he's real, look at me, you don't have to go through this mystical little magical phrases to even enter into the presence of God. He's with you. Prayer is you communicating with him. Let's quit making it so this and so that. And you and I need to just talk to him. Just communication. That's all it is. And by the way, what is communication? Let's say my wife and I, we always talk about marriage and communication. We're getting ready to have a marriage October 4th and 5th, our marriage enrichment seminar. I hope all married couples, all ages, whatever the case might be. It's a Friday night, Saturday morning, and it won't be a lot of time. It's free. We have a nice meal Friday night, breakfast Saturday morning, and it's on marriage enrichment. It doesn't mean that you're about ready to kill each other and you need to come to this. Now, if you are about ready to kill each other, you need to come to this. But you ought to come talk to me now instead of waiting for a few weeks, because we don't want anybody dead. But what I'm saying is this is enrichment. It's on becoming one. It would be good for all couples. Now, listen to me. My wife and I go out and spend a day, and if we have problems with communication, let me tell you what usually causes a problem with communication. It's this little word we call awareness. Oftentimes, an individual does not communicate with their spouse because they're not aware of them. You know why you and I do not communicate with God? We're not aware. Look at me. If God made himself known in a physical presence, and he was right there and we saw him, I guarantee you we'd be talking to him. But he is right there as if he was, but he's not in that physical presence because we have the Holy Spirit in our heart. But God is not only with us, but in us. And oftentimes you and I are not communicating with the Father because we're just simply not aware that he's there. We know he's there, but we're not aware. And so prayer, the simple approach is this. You talk to God. Quit worrying about, hey, do I have to say this certain phrase? Do I have to say this? Do I have to say that? And I'm not saying this so next time any of you come up here to this pulpit to pray, you're going to be scared half to death that you don't pray something wrong. You're going to be like, Lord, I don't know what to say. I don't want my pastor to be mad. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm just saying, what I'm saying should encourage you to feel free to get up and pray as opposed to make you scared. Because I don't know about you, we need to quit worrying about how a person says this phrase and that phrase and you know, if how it flows off the tongue. Prayer is the simple approach. You just talk to God. That's all he wants. Okay, what does powerful prayer include? The simple approach and simple ingredients. I'll give these to you and we'll let you go for tonight. This is preparing. This is why God set up getting ready to give them the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to take the Lord's Prayer phrase by phrase. And it'll be probably a little bit of a probably 5, 6, 7 week series on the Lord's Prayer. But I think it'll be profitable for you. What are some simple ingredients of prayer? I want you to write these down if you don't have the paper. If you do have the paper, and hope everybody did, just have your pen ready. You might want to add three very simple things: exclusion, realization, and confidence. Okay, you say, preacher, how do we know that? Listen, prayer, powerful prayer, involves exclusion. What do you mean? It means excluding other people mentally, not physically. Say, preacher, I don't really understand. Powerful prayer means this. I exclude everybody else, and I even exclude myself, and I focus solely on God. Does that make sense to everybody? In other words, this, if I come into this, and I have anybody or anything that is on my mind more than God, then my prayer is not going to have power. For my prayer to have power. Now notice if you would, now look at verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter in thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. Look at verse 7. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions. He's not worried about the repetitions. He's not worried about the phrases and all that stuff. He says, don't do that like the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard from their much speaking. Look at verse 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Exclusion. You've got to exclude others and yourself. Now you say, well, that doesn't make sense, preacher, because you just said I got to keep others first. Listen to me. I'm talking about the focus of your prayer should be God and God alone. That's it. The whole priority of your prayer life should be God. You literally, and what I'm saying is this, we're in the South, and Brother Joe knows what I'm talking about. Sometimes we have prayer meetings in the South, and we'll get some men, and we pray with our deacons and staff, just try to before every service now, and we'll say, all right, let's pray. When we do that, I'll pray, and there's might be three or four or five other men praying at the same time, and they'll even some pray out loud. And some people, a lot of people say, I can't do that. There's just no way I can concentrate because of all these. What we're saying is this. In prayer, you should be able to exclude others. I don't mean exclude others like you're not going to pray for them. I mean exclude others that they're not going to bother you while you're talking to God. Look at me. If somebody's done me wrong today, and I need to go home and pray, but it's hard for me to pray because somebody did me wrong. Listen, I need to exclude them. Because I cannot let what they did keep me from praying to God. So you understand what I mean, exclusion. Secondly, you got to exclude yourself. I mean, you're going to have to overcome yourself to spend time in prayer. So there is exclusion. This is what he said. Go to your closet. Pray in secret. Well, what is he saying here? Hey, you got to get away from everybody and everything. You got to exclude them. You got to get away from them. Even when you're praying in a room with five other people, your focus should be on God, okay? Secondly, there is realization. What do you mean realization? Notice what it says, pray to thy Father. Powerful prayer means you realize who and what God is. The fatherhood of God, all the relationships that suggests, you got to realize. Notice this, in the Old Testament, maybe two or three times, God is referred to as a father. It's almost non-existent, and not even directly. When Jesus came to earth, he introduced a new relationship with our Creator as he introduced him as Father. And to me, that's the best name for God. Not that it means more than others. I mean, it means more to me because he's Father. That word Father involves so many emotions, so many different aspects of a relationship. You know why? A father provides, a father protects, a father paddles. And God says this, hey, if you on earth know how to give good gifts to your children, imagine what your Father in heaven would do for you. Aren't you glad that he's not only God, he's Father? Okay. Well, when you go to God in prayer, you've got to realize he's my Father. If any of you had a good relationship with your earthly father or have a good relationship with your earthly father, you know when you go to them and you need something in sincerity, that's what God says. You come to me. I'm your Father. And you and I have got to have this realization of who he is and what he is and what he's done in my life. And you got to understand, we can't come like he's this great being that we cannot approach. And, hey, I'm sorry to bother you, but listen, he's your dad. Listen, my boys don't bother me when they need something. That's not a bother to me. I want them to come to me. Does that make sense? God wants you to come to him. So there's exclusion, there's realization, but third, there is confidence.
Thank you for listening today. We hope you received a blessing from our broadcast. The Kirtland Baptist Church is located at 4520 Old Hollow Road in Kernersville, North Carolina. You may also contact us by phone at 336-993-5192 or via the web at kirtlandbaptistchurch.com. Enjoy our services live and all our media on our website and church app. Thank you for listening to the Kirtland broadcast today. God bless you.